Today on From His Heart, learn how to be delivered from evil.
I don't care what happens in your life. If you know God is good and God loves you, you can get through anything and your heart doesn't get bitter. You just keep praising Him. You keep blessing Him. You keep praying to Him. Say, oh God, I need your deliverance, but I'm going to praise you. And if deliverance never comes in this life, I'm going to still praise you because I know deliverance is coming in the next.
He can heal every scar.
In the Old Testament, Job said this, "Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of trouble." Well, that's all of us. Now, maybe you've experienced some trouble in the last week or two, maybe even in the last day, maybe every day. Even though David was a man of God's own heart, he too experienced lots of trials and troubles in his life. And he tells us in Psalm 34 how to handle the troubles of life. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles, and in today's lesson, Pastor Jeff is going to reveal how believers can learn to trust the Deliverer, the God who saves and rescues His own people from trouble. Now, the message today is entitled, Deliver Us from Evil, and it's from Pastor Jeff's eight-lesson series, Roller Coaster, Facing the Ups and Downs of Life. And by the way, this series is one of our gifts of thanks this month for your support. You can find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org, or I'll tell you more later in the broadcast, of course. But now, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 34. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with a promise from God that He will deliver us from evil.
Here's the question. How are we to handle the many troubles of life? By trusting in the Deliverer. The God who saves and rescues and delivers from trouble. The Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 20, God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. So in Psalm 34, David is going to give us a threefold action plan of what to do when you're going down, when you're experiencing the valley, the trouble, the tragedy, the misery, the evil, and it's all around you. Threefold action plan. Action number one, in your trouble, take time to praise the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 1, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Notice, he says, I will bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. David was saying all those things of how he wanted to kneel before the Lord and bless the Lord and exalt the Lord because the Lord was worthy of his praise. He realized that his deliverance came from God. Praise is always appropriate. In any and every situation, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise is always appropriate because circumstances change. They go up and down. Circumstances can change on a dime, but the Lord never changes, and He's always worthy. And the thing that praise does, praise changes our outlook by providing an uplook. So in your trouble, as hard as it might be, take time to praise Him. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Second action, not only to praise Him, but in your trouble, take time to pray to Him. To pray to Him. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry for help. I sought the Lord, David said, and He answered me and delivered me from what? From my fears. From my fears. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful to know that David, who was a guy who could stand up to the giant when everyone else was afraid of him, who stood up before 9-foot-9-inch Goliath, he still got afraid. And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard this poor man, and the Lord heard his prayer, and the Lord delivered him from all his fears. The Lord says, I'm listening to your voice. Psalm 116, the psalmist says this, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. He's inclined his ear. He's listening for your voice. God forbid that he should hear white noise from you or from me. Boy, we need to call upon him because God is listening. And the God who listens will be faithful to deliver if we'll be faithful to pray. God says, well, if you would just call upon me, I will answer you. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, which you do not know. But if you don't call, I'm not going to show you. If you don't come to me, that's not going to happen. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. He gave him a message, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And the Ninevites heard that message and they responded to that message and they fasted and put on sackcloth and called upon the Lord. And God relented concerning the evil that he was going to do to them, because God responds to repentance and humility and prayer. He responds. And if we don't, he doesn't. King Asa was a good king in the Old Testament, king of Judah. And Asa did some good things, but it's very, very interesting what it says about Asa. It says, when Asa got old, toward the end of his reign, he became diseased in his feet. And he sought the physicians, but he did not seek the Lord. He called upon the physicians, but he didn't call upon God. And he didn't see deliverance. He didn't see healing. A little boy, 3 years old, was playing in the sandbox. His dad was watching him, and he was playing with his trucks in the sandbox, and there was a big rock in the sandbox, and it was messing up the little boy's playtime. And so he tried to move this rock, but the rock was too big, and he couldn't move it, and he tried with all his might to move the rock, and he couldn't move it, and finally he just broke down and started to cry. And his dad said to him, son, what's the matter? And he said, daddy, I've tried with all my might to move this rock, and I can't move it. And his daddy said, have you used all your strength? And he said, yes, daddy, all my strength. He said, no, you haven't, because you haven't asked me for help. Some of us are like that. We sit and cry because life is so hard, and we hadn't called upon the Lord. We hadn't praised him. We haven't prayed to him. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all and delivered him from all his fears and saved him out of his trouble. Listen, God will be faithful to deliver if we will be faithful to pray. There's a story in the Old Testament about Hezekiah. Hezekiah is he is the king of Judah now. He came sometime after Asa. And he's king, and the Assyrians are coming against him. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrians. You know why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh? It's because Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrians, and the Assyrians are the enemies of God, and Jonah hated those people. And you and I probably would have had trouble with those people too. God loved the Assyrians. Well, in the story of Hezekiah, the Assyrians are coming against Judah and the capital city of Jerusalem, and they send 185,000 soldiers, and they're surrounding the city, and the king of Assyria, his name is Sennacherib, he sends a letter, and he has one of his heralds read the letter to Hezekiah, and it says, you better not trust in your God and thinking your God is going to deliver you from my hand. He said, what nation has been delivered from my hand? Have the gods of all the other nations been able to deliver from my hand? You better just go ahead and surrender, otherwise we're going to wipe you out. Loose paraphrase, but that's what came about. And Hezekiah, the scripture says in 2 Kings, said this, then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and says, now watch his praise. O Lord, the God of Israel, who are enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and listen to the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, O Lord our God, I pray, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord, now watch this, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard you. And verse 35 says, then it came about that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men rose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. Because you prayed, I heard you. And because you prayed, I'm going to deliver you. God is faithful to deliver when you and I are faithful to pray. Hey, in your trouble, take time to praise him. In your trouble, take time to pray to him. And action number three, in your trouble, take time to press in to him. To press in to the Lord. Now, here is what happens to us. When we face the downs in life, we're on a roller coaster because life is a roller coaster. It's got ups and it's got downs. When you face a down in life, and maybe it's a down, down, down in life. It's a down, doobie-doo, down, down. I mean, you're really going down. And you're there for a long time. You know, we can handle downs as long as they're brief. But what if you have a sustained, prolonged illness? And it's very, very tough. What if your spouse says, I don't want to be married to you anymore. I'm out of here. I found somebody else, and just crushes your heart. And you're living through that. It's so difficult. And there is a tendency, now what we end up doing when bad things happen, we cry out pretty good about, God, help me, God, save me, God, get me out of this. God, I'm in the hot water here, and deliver me from that. And we want God to do it like that. And maybe God doesn't do it that fast. Oftentimes God doesn't do it that fast. And then we say, well, forget God. God doesn't answer my prayer. Just forget God. And what we do in the difficult times, instead of pressing into God, we pull away from God. Instead of running to God, we run from God. What did David say in Psalm 34, verse 8? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. In trouble, you need to taste and see that the Lord is good. You need to take refuge in the Lord. Now, when it says taste and see, he's not talking about taking a nibble or taking a sip. He's talking about dig in. You sit at the table and you dig in and you feast on the Lord and feast with the Lord and spend time with him. And you'll find that he is good. See, if you feast on him, you'll find he is good. You'll find he is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Circumstances aren't good. Problems aren't necessarily good. We don't like them. God uses them for good in our lives. But those things aren't things we say, oh, Lord, can I have some trouble? Lord, things have been going so well for me. I just wish there were some problems that could come about. Nobody ever does that. Sometimes we pray for patience. Oh, God, I'm struggling with patience. Lord, Can you help me with patience? What does God do? So, okay, I'll help you with patience. I'll give you something that will try your patience, that will test your patience. Testimony I love, Dick Gouch, he was praying that God would make him a man of faith. And he said he was praying that prayer. And then he said in a short period of time, he got sick and then he lost his job and he somehow fell out of fellowship with the guys at his church. And he said he was praying and praying as he's confessing his sin since the war of 1812 and said, oh God, what have I done to you? And God said to him, Dick, aren't you the guy that prayed, God, make me a man of faith? He said, how do you suppose I go about doing that? Andre Crouch has that great song, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. And so God allows us to go through these things, so not so we run from him, but so that we run to him and that we find our refuge in him and we taste and see that he is good. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 3. Truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. Those are two things that every Christian has to have as foundation in their hearts. God is good and God loves me. God is good and God loves me. I don't care what happens in your life. If you know God is good and God loves you, you can get through anything and your heart doesn't get bitter. You just keep praising him. You keep blessing him. You keep praying to him. Say, oh God, I need your deliverance, but I'm going to praise you. And if deliverance never comes in this life, I'm going to still praise you because I know deliverance is coming in the next. Somebody has well said, and it's so true, it is better to die in faith than to live in doubt. It is better to die in faith, never realizing the things that you are trusting God for, believing God for. It's better to die in faith than to live in doubt. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you feast on him, you'll find he is good. And if you feast on him, you'll find he is more than enough. Oh, fear the Lord, he says in verse 9, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. That's exactly what it says in the New Testament, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things that you worry about and you fret about, if you'll seek me first, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. When you feast on the Lord, you find that not only is Jesus necessary, but Jesus is enough. And he's more than enough to handle all your problems and to meet the inner longings of your heart. I have some friends who went through a terrible, horrible tragedy. They tried so hard to get pregnant, and when they got pregnant, just weeks before the baby was due, there were complications, and the baby was lost. And the wife almost lost her life in the complications. And it was very, very difficult coming back from all of that. What was she going to do? What were they going to do? You know, the statistics say it's about 75% when a couple loses a child, you know what they do? They divorce. They can't make it. And so here you have these two people going through such a terrible, hard time, such a hardship, such a tragedy. And what did they do? The wife told me, she said, I had a choice. I could get bitter or I could press into the Lord. I could pull away from him and say, what kind of a God are you? We tried so hard to get pregnant. It took us so long to get pregnant. And then we get pregnant. And then what happens? You take our child. Well, she could have done that. But then she would say with Peter, when Jesus said to Peter, you don't want to go away too, do you? When everyone was bailing out in Jesus in Mark chapter or John chapter 6, and all they were saying, you speak hard words. Who can follow that? And Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? And Peter said, Lord, where are we to go? You have words of eternal life. And my friend said, in the midst of her grief, she's like, well, if I walk away from God, where am I going to go? A walk away from God is just a walk into the darkness. I have to come to him because he's good and because he loves me and he makes sense of the senseless. I don't understand. And she and her husband may never understand this side of heaven, why those things happen. But I'm going to tell you something. You know one word you'll never hear in heaven that is never uttered in the throne of heaven? It's the word, oops. God never says, oops. God never makes a mistake. And God works all things together for good, and bad things happen. But listen, nothing comes into your life or my life that doesn't first filter through God's fingers of love. You can trust him. And she and her husband have chosen to trust him, even with the questions and even through the hurts, because they know that he is good and his loving kindness is everlasting. Hey, God's a deliverer. Do you need deliverance today? Some of you are here and you know what? You think in terms of God delivering you from things in this life, because all we just kind of think in terms of our lifespan. And we don't think in terms of what happens after our life. But the thing that the Lord wants to deliver most of all is not from the trial, the test that you're in right now, although he does do that because God is a God of deliverances. God wants to deliver you from the main enemy, and that enemy is sin. And that enemy wants to take you down, 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 all the way to a Christless hell forever and ever and ever. And Jesus came to deliver us from sin. He came to die upon the cross and rise again from the dead to make it possible for us to have a relationship with him. And the key is found in Psalm 34, verse 18. It says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." He saves those who are contrite in spirit. He saves those who are aware of their sinfulness. As blind Bartimaeus was aware of his sinfulness, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I was 17 years old when God made me aware of my sinfulness. And I saw that I was a sinner and I was lost and I was on the highway to hell and there was no escape for me. And I got down on my knees in my bedroom and I said, "Jesus, would you save me?" And the divine deliverer came into my life and he forgave all my sins and he changed me from the inside out and he saved me and he delivered me and he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and he gave to me eternal life. And I will never perish because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Listen, has that ever happened to you? He wants to deliver you from the ultimate evil, and that is separation from him forever. And if you will cry out as a poor man from a crushed heart, aware of how sinful you are and how holy he is, if you'll cry out, "Jesus, save me, deliver me, I want to know you. And I want you to live inside of me." You'll do it. And your life will never be the same.
There is no better time than right now. The Lord offers you forgiveness of your sins and freedom to live for him. Ask him to come in and save you and to be the Lord of your life. And if you do, he will, and you'll be a child of God, and he will never, ever let you go. Now, when you receive Christ, you always want to find some Christian friends to help you grow in your faith. If you go to our website at fromhisheart.org, be sure to click the Why Jesus link. There are, of course, some helps to get you started in your Christian walk and some free things you can download to also be a blessing to you. Hey, before we close out the broadcast today, let's hear a final word from Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Thanks, Larry. Our world is filled with hurting, lost people, and they have stresses in family and marriage and finances and the things going on politically in our world, and they need peace. And that's why I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming a vision partner with From His Heart. What does it mean to be a vision partner? It means that you make a monthly investment. Now, as a vision partner, your support will become an extension of you. And that brings hope and healing to broken lives, just as if you were the one personally sharing it. And so with your help, we can speak the truth in love to this anxious, desperate world, and we can tell them about the peace that is only found in Jesus. Now, remember, I receive no income from this ministry. I'm a volunteer, and I'm a vision partner myself. So thanks for supporting From His Heart. And thanks for considering becoming a special monthly vision partner. I really appreciate it.
We have some very special gifts of thanks for our new vision partners this month, and we invite you to go to fromhisheart.org and click the Vision Partner banner on the homepage for more information. And we thank you for standing with us each month with the vision to see the future and the great need for people to come to Christ. God bless you. Well, time is up for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you so much for joining us. We trust that you'll join us tomorrow for the next lesson in Pastor Jeff's roller coaster series. It's called Busted and Broken. That's on Wednesday when we open up God's Word and share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.